Admitting that Operation Rainbow did not achieve its goals, Army pulled out Monday of Tel Sultan neighborhood, ending a 6 days military incursion, leaving behind massive destruction and threatening with more incursions in the soon future. As troops withdrew, top Army officials claimed that between 8 to 12 homes were destroyed in the course of Army operation in Rafah. But after aerial photos were examined, a top Army officer admitted to the destruction of 56 structures. Surprisingly, UNRWA reports stated that 45 homes were destroyed during the operation, but affirmed that 150 homes were destroyed in Rafah during the past month. While Army chiefs insisted that 41 of the 53 residents killed in the operation were gunmen, Palestinians and human rights groups reported that only 12 gunmen were killed. Rafah's incursion caused more headaches to Sharon than he expected. The United States, for the first time, did not use its veto power to prevent the condemnation of Israel in the UN Security Council. Sharon's major coalition partner, Shinui, warned to reconsider its role in the government if Army continued with the inhuman home destruction in Rafah. Shinui leader Youssef Labid triggered angry reactions as he drew a parallel between an elderly Palestinian woman in Rafah and his grandmother, a Holocaust survivor. Israeli peace activists continued to protest, accusing that Army lost its moral grounds. Police and border police harshly dealt with around 1,000 peaceful demonstrators who attempted to cross the Sufa border point to Rafah on Tuesday. As a result, 8 demonstrators were lightly wounded and few were detained and held for questioning. While media attention was focused on the military operation in Rafah, Army operated in most of the West Bank areas, especially Jenin refugee camp, Qalqilia, and Nablus. In dozens of limited Army incursions over the week, 5 residents were killed, dozens wounded, and more than 150 residents detained. Sharon received a serious blow as top Army officials expressed Monday dissatisfaction with the proposed staged withdrawals. The revised disengagement plan calls for pulling out of the entire Gaza Strip and evacuating 4 West Bank settlements in 4 stages, where the first stage proposes a pullout from small isolated Gaza settlements only. Attempting to test ground in case right-wing parties walk out in protest to his plan, Sharon asked his aides to discuss with Labour Party leaders the prospects of forming a national unity government. A secret meeting with Labour leader Shimon Peres sparked angry reaction, in which Labour members of Knesset accused Peres with harming the opposition. Egyptian intelligence chief Omar Suleiman arrived Monday to Israel and the Palestinian territories in a mission described as vital to the future of Sharon's plan. Suleiman met with President Arafat after meeting with Israeli top officials including Sharon, his defense and foreign ministers. Israel confirmed that Egypt was interested in playing a significant security role in Gaza, including training Palestinian Authority security forces and assuming significant security responsibility at the borders with the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian Authority officially requested Egyptian help in order to rebuild and train its security forces in the Gaza Strip. A Palestinian Authority source reported that Suleiman presented to both sides a proposal to form a 4-member committee to include Egypt, the United States, Israel, and the Palestinian Authority in order to coordinate the implementation of the Gaza withdrawal. While Palestinians welcomed the idea, Israel denied receiving an official proposal for forming such a committee. It is likely that Egyptians will only accept a security role at the Philadelphia Corridor if Israel agrees to a comprehensive ceasefire and expresses readiness to negotiate with the Palestinians. Few reports stated that Suleiman's visit was coordinated with and backed by the United States administration, saying that Sharon was ready to engage in negotiations with the Palestinian Authority even if Arafat continues to be its strong, unchallenged leader. On the other hand, Arab leaders concluded 2 days of difficult meetings in Tunisia. One leader walked out, 8 did not show up, and 5 left before the meeting lowered curtains. Observers believe that even as Arab leaders agreed on a final statement, they left Tunisia more divided than when arrived. Palestinian prisoners in Hadarim continued with their hunger strike, protesting the prison's inhuman conditions. Conditions in the overcrowded prisons and detention camps have been deteriorating since the start of the current crisis in September 2000. More than 7,000 Palestinians are held inside Israeli jails and military detention camps. 300 of them are children below 18, 1,200 are under administrative detention, a 1945 British mandate law, which allows the detention of residents for long periods without any proper legal procedures.
This report was prepared by IMEMC with the technical support of Radio Zeus.